The following resource is from lmpc.org, and we're delighted to provide it freely to all. If you feel led to give towards the ministry of Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, we welcome you to do so at lmpc.org/give.
Please remain standing for the reading of God's Word, and then be prepared to sing in response. A reading from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
My welcome to Steve's. I'm Brian Salter, one of the pastors here. It's great to see you here in the presence of God together this morning on the Lord's Day. We are continuing our series called Renew, looking at these latter parts of Isaiah. We are asking God that he would send a renewal to us, a restoration, what some might call a revival. To stir our hearts that are cold in ways maybe we haven't realized. And this sermon and series and the preaching of God's word might awaken us to the ways we need to come into the light and have the darkness and its deeds exposed that we might shine, as you've heard sung and as you've heard read. So let me pray for us and we will study God's word together. Lord, we admit to you we cannot renew ourselves. We are completely dependent upon your work, your spirit in us. And so we come with an expectation this morning that you promised to change us through your word and your spirit. That in these moments, as your word goes forth, empowered by your spirit, that's how you change us. That's how you will shape us. That's how you will renew us. So come, Lord, and do your good work for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been quite a while since I've brought up C.S. Lewis and the Chronicles of Narnia, so I thought I'd return to some of my favorite illustrations and the Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Perhaps you know the noble mouse, Reepa Cheep, who is one of the crew sailing eastward as far as they can, all the way to the borders of the kingdom of Aslan, the lion Christ figure in those tales. But when the ship can go no farther, Reepa Cheep's irrepressible spirit compels him to leave the others behind, to throw away his sword, and to sail off farther east in his little boat all the way to the edge of the world and beyond into Aslan's land, where there is no need for a sword. Reepa Cheep goes beyond to the end of the world. And Ray Ortland rightly says about this passage is Isaiah 60 is our little boat. It's our little boat in which we are able to travel and sail forward to the very edge of time and beyond, into the land of the light where our Redeemer reigns. These verses are a picture of what is coming. It's our little boat to sail beyond this place to the land and to see what is coming. And we need this prophetic vision of the consummated kingdom this morning. We need it. We need to see what that day will be so that we might be activated in this day to pursue those things. That's the reason this passage is important for us. And indeed, it is true, as Isaiah says, our light has come. And we understand it has come to us in Jesus Christ for a twofold purpose: to drive out the darkness and to draw in the nations. And so as we consider this passage, first I'd like for us to consider the reason we should shine, because our light has come. The reason we say the reason we should shine is because in verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That command to shine is to us. Is to the people of God, personified in a city called Zion. You see, the command is for us to shine because our light has come. The light has come, as we understand it in Isaiah 59, verse 20 last week. A redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression. And we understand here, as that Redeemer has come into Zion, that the Redeemer is the light. God has not abandoned the world to darkness. Remember the condition of the people of God in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 59. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. Listen to this. We hope for light, and behold darkness. And for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope like those who have no eyes. And then verse 1. Arise, shine, your light has come. Darkness will not be the final word. The reason we should shine is because our light has come. And we understand the Redeemer is the light because we hear people like Zechariah sing of this in Luke chapter 1. When he says in verse 76, you child, speaking of John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the light, to prepare his ways. And here's what he says, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give what? Light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadows of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. We understand from Zechariah's song that the Redeemer is the light and the world is not abandoned in its darkness. We understand from John in his opening of his gospel when he says, in him was life, speaking of who? The Word made flesh, the Redeemer. In him was life, and that life was what? The light of all mankind. And further, Jesus in John 8 would just simply proclaim, I, he says of himself, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So our light has come. It has come in the Redeemer, and thus Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, if you want to see the glory of God, here's where you should look. Verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ. Do you want to receive the light? Do you want to come under the light? Do you want to see and know the glory of God? You must look to Jesus. For in the face of Christ, Paul says, that is where we find it. John Owen, the great Puritan, said, just as the light of the sun comes to us by its beams we see the sun, and by its beams the sun touches us. And he says this, Jesus Christ is the beam of his Father's love, and the Father's love touches us through him. Do you want the light? You must look to Jesus. And so, again, we're commanded to shine because our light has come, so we should shine. In Isaiah 60, verse 14, you see that the personification of Zion is the people of God. It says in the latter part of 14, if you have your Bible open to Isaiah 60, they shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Clearly, the people called to shine is Zion, which is the people of God. And the same reason we will shine in that day at the end is the same reason we shine in this day, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ upon his people. In verse 5 of chapter 60, it has this beautiful statement. It says, then you shall see and be radiant. That's the vision for the church. To reflect God's glory. To be radiant. That standing under the light of Christ, who we see in his word, will make us, by his spirit, his children will become beautiful. We'll shine. We'll be radiant. We must come under the basking of the light. And we saw this with Moses, right? When he entered the glory and he came off the mountain and they could see he had been in the midst of the glory. It's like you see someone who comes back with a suntan or a sunburn and you say, you must have been outside or at the beach. You know when people have been under the light. People should know. We've been with Jesus. We are radiant. We are being beautified. And that in Christianity, there is no such thing as a self-beautification project. It always involves coming underneath the light of Christ through his word until one day we come face to face. And so our shining is a reflective radiance. Thus, Jesus can say, I am the light of the world, and then turn to the church and say, you are the light of the world. Who's the light of the world? Yes. He's the source. We're the shining. He's the light. We're the reflective light. We're the moon, not the sun. We reflect the light of the sun, S-O-N. And that's why any reflection we give, any way in which we attract people to the glory of God is never, ever about us. And thus, after he says to the church, you're the light of the world, he tells them the point of their shining. He says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and what? Glorify your Father in heaven, that they may look to the Son. So the reason we shine, church, is our light has come. The reason the light shines in the world, verse 2, is to drive out the darkness. For behold, it says, darkness shall cover the earth, thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you. I love this. His glory will be seen upon you. Again, a reflective radiance, a visible demonstration that we are people of the light. You see, when the light shines, it drives out the darkness. It leaves an imprint. It marks us. Driving out darkness involves revelation and renewal. Revelation is the exposing work. When the light shines into that thick darkness and exposes things that must be. So that Ephesians 5 is true when Paul says in Ephesians 5 verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Then he says, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. The reason the light shines is to drive out the darkness. And listen, if you're hidden in Christ, there's nothing to hide. If you're not in Christ, that light will undo you. But if you're in Christ, we celebrate the exposure of the fruitless deeds of darkness, for we want to be a people who shine. We want to look more and more like Jesus. So show it to me. Shine under the light. Show me those deeds of darkness, as Paul says in Ephesians 5:14. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We, as those in Christ, should be the ones that are willing to say, wake up. Shine the light of Christ. Let us see the deeds of darkness, for we want what? Renewal. Renewal is simply the church radiant, shining, being beautified. How would we know that the light is driving out the darkness in us? How would we know the glory is seen, as it says in verse 2, upon us? Let's get practical for a moment. Three New Testament passages, just three, will give us a very clear checkpoint to know, is the glory of God through Christ being seen on us? First passage is Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 10. He says, for at one time you were in the darkness, but now you're in the light of the Lord. Here's what he says. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in what? All that is good, right, and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. One of the marks that we are a people living under the light, that we are shining, that we are radiating the beauty of Christ, is that we are God pleasers, not self pleasers. Try to discern what pleases the Lord. And in a selfie world, we have a lot of coming into the light to do. The orientation of our lives to ourself is darkness. The orientation of ourselves to God is where we will begin to shine. So who are you living to please? The second New Testament passage is maybe even more searching in our current moment in this world. Verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Now, why is that connected to the light? Well, he says, do that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you what? Shine as lights in the world. So there's a measurement. How are we doing with grumbling? How are we doing with disputing? I've got a long way to go on the grumbling and complaining. Why? Because life is about me so often. The self-pleasing is connected to the grumbling and the disputing and the complaining. And we look no different than the world. We sound no different than the world as the church right now. With all of our disputing and grumbling and complaining, we are not shining. Discipleship, Bonhoeffer says, is as visible as light in the night, as a mountain in the flatlands. And I wonder if people hear the church and they hear anything different. Anything visible in the night, anything like a mountain in a flatland. They should hear from us the deepest gratitude and the greatest gladness, not the griping and the grumbling. Then they'll see what we reflect. And then the last one, 1 John 2, 9 through 11. Here it is. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So here's your third checkpoint. For is the glory, as verse 2 says, shining upon you? Our love. Our love for one another. Our enduring, committed love for one another as brother and sister, family of God. I ask us, are we clearly differentiated in the darkness of the world by how we love one another? Do you see how the church can shine, God pleasers, without grumbling and complaining, full of love for one another? That's the reflective radiance that drives out the darkness. You may be aware that this week, I believe it was this week, William Shatner, a la Captain Kirk, really went to space after years acting as if he was. Age 90, he blasted off to space. I don't know if you saw the interview when he landed. He was overcome with awe and emotion. Here's what he said. Here's what struck him about his journey to space. It was the absolute startling difference between the darkness of space and the blue beauty of Earth. It was the coldness of the darkness and the life and sustenance in the light. That startling contrast had him in tears. I ask us, church, are we offering in this dark world such a startling contrast? Are we offering the contrast where people find beauty and life and sustenance here in the shining of the people of God? And last, the result of the light shining, you can see in verse 3, is the drawing in of all nations. It says, nations shall come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. You see, the result of the light shining is this drawing in of all the nations, which is the church's mission. Nations shall come to your light. They may glorify your Father as they see your good deeds. They come as we become more beautiful, radiating the glory of God. They are drawn in. That's the picture here. And you have this grand picture of all sorts of people, both the ruled, the nations, and the rulers, the kings. God's kingdom will bring in both. And even in verse 9 of this same chapter, I love it. It says, for the coastland shall hope for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your children from afar, their silver and gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel. Why are the ships of Tarshish coming? Here it says, because he has made you beautiful. Isn't that amazing? It's our reflective radiance that brings the mission of the church to the world as we look altogether different. Psalm 67, 1 through 2 really reiterates this when it says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and to make his face to shine upon us so that we can be comfortable and happy and still. No. That your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. That's the purpose of his face shining on us, is for us to radiate and the nations drawn in. That's why Matthew 2 is so significant. At Jesus' birth, you see this happening. The nations drawing in to the light as the wise men come from the east to Jerusalem and ask, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star and have come to what? Worship him." It's happening. That's what Matthew was saying. It's happening. Isaiah 60 verse 3, happening as they're drawn to worship Jesus, and it's still happening today until it will fully be realized in the end. But here's the key. We cannot adopt as a church a build it and they will come mentality. That, oh, we'll just be who we are and they'll be drawn in. Yes, that is true as you see in that day in the picture. But drawing in the nations means going out. It means going out and taking the temple out. We are the temple of God. We are the shining. We go into the world. That's why John Piper says this. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship does not. And when this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before God's throne, missions will be no more. And worship will abide forever. Worship is both the fuel and the goal of missions. And worship comes when we come under the light. In my time here at LMPC, I have been fortunate enough to put my feet on the ground and my eyes on the work that God has enabled us to be a part of around the world. I have stood and seen the shining of God's people in India among the Dalits, on a trash heap in a slum, hearing a young girl quote Psalm 1 because she was a part of a Bible club through Mission India. I have been to Hyderabad, where the calls for prayer happen morning after morning, to see an operation that existed that we are a part of to bring the gospel to all the people of India. I have been to Varanasi on the Ganges River. I've watched them burn the dead bodies, hoping that somehow their chants would amount to something. And I've been there on prayer walks with people praying the light of Christ to that place. I've been to the United Kingdom and seen the work, the fresh work of the Spirit that's happening in Edinburgh and in London and in Leeds and in Manchester. I've been in Istanbul, where we're partnering with a broadcast ministry that is putting the nations, bringing the gospel to the nations. I've sat with people on the border of Syria that we have partnered with that are risking their lives every day, and they know we're with them. I have been in Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan and Tajikistan and seen some of the most beautiful displays of the glory of God coming to the earth, and we are a part of it. That is why we will always seek to give our lives away on the mountain, in the city, and around the world. As I've said earlier, I've heard Christians say, "Why don't we just focus at home? There's enough to be done here." No way. The mission of the church is the nations, and that will be a part of our renewal. A fresh, unwavering commitment to the world. I have been to Agra, India, and done the tour of the Taj Mahal, one of the wonders of the world, and yet that same day I had greater awe when I stood in a cement block room with one light bulb hanging over the ceiling and 30 women in a literacy class reading the Bible and singing in song. That was far more beautiful than the Taj Mahal. That's our mission. That's our mission. To draw in the nations by going out. And I tell you those stories because it's yours. It's ours. It's ours together. I close with this. On the 28th of October, 1883, Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached a sermon at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, London. It was entitled, The Marvelous Magnet. In that sermon, Spurgeon described how when a nail is attached to an electric magnet, the nail itself becomes magnetic. And in that way, you can join a second nail to the first and a third nail to the second and so on until you have a whole chain of nails held together. And Spurgeon said this, all the magnetism comes from the first place from which it started. And when it ceases at the fountainhead, there is an end of it altogether. Indeed, Jesus Christ is the great attractive magnet. And all must begin and end with him. And more, Spurgeon says, the kingdom grows, ever mighty to prevail. But all the growing and all the prevailing come out of him. So it is that Jesus works. First by himself, then by all who are in him. And Spurgeon said what I pray and say today. May the Lord make us all magnets for himself. Let's pray. We thank you for the good news that this world is not abandoned in its darkness, for our light has come in Jesus Christ. And Lord, you tell us we are the light of the world. As the church, would you help us shine? Regularly develop us to come into your presence personally each day, to come into your presence corporately, to know you by your Spirit, that we may shine. Even those three practical things in the New Testament, Lord, would you make us deep God pleasers? Would you control our tongue and give us gladness and gratitude? Would you help us love one another, that we may show off the radiance of the glory of God? And would you keep in us in this place for years and years and years an unwavering commitment to take the gospel to the nations? And we pray this in your name. Amen.